Where we stopped last week, Sunday, we still continue with our teaching on the principles of Christ. By now, we can easily recap individually what we have been doing over the week, that there are two principles in the universe, the principle of obedience, the principle of rebellion. Jesus Christ symbolizes obedience, Satan symbolizes rebellion. At any point in our life, we are operating under either of these two principles. There is no middle line. You are either living your life in obedience to the will of God, or you are living your life in rebellion to the will of God. Now, we mentioned that the devil is not afraid of our prayers, is not afraid of our fasting, is not afraid of our binding and of our fasting. The only thing is that afraid of is our obedience. Today, the purpose that we are going to obey God, no matter what is called us, that day, Satan will be our enemy. That is the day that we are completely broken up within and we are no longer inside. We also mentioned that there is only one authority in the universe, and that is the Almighty God. And God exercises His authority in either of two ways, either directly or indirectly. And 9.5 times out of 10, God exercises His authority indirectly through dedicated authority. And we reminded us, nobody has authority. We are all delegated authority. So in whichever sphere of influence you are in, God gives you a measure of authority to represent Him in that particular place. Because the earth belongs to the Lord and the fullness thereof. And God wants all things done decently and in order. There was no dominance in God's creation. That is why the Son keeps moving at the same speed and the same order. The moon, the same, the celestial bodies, all of them, they obey God. If the Son should disobey God 1 second, then the Son will be like a head. Because if that means the Son will move closer to us, and to those on the bus, or if you move back out of the room, and you want to leave. So it is 90 miles away from planet Earth, and it's 90 million miles away from planet Earth, and it's away. Everything is far away. Which is only man that God has chosen to be in his creation, because man has come under the influence of Lucifer. If we say we are children of God, we have been redeemed by Jesus Christ, then we must live by the principle of Jesus, which is obedience. At all times, like we shared in the Sunday school this morning, obedience is going to cost us something. Obedience will cost us convenience. Obedience will cost us comfort. Obedience will cost us friendship. Obedience will cost us relationship. All those things we must be ready to lose so that we can gain perfect obedience. Last week we mentioned that for obedience to God, there must be subjection. We must be willing to submit ourselves one to another. I must be ready to recognize your authority. You must be ready to recognize my authority. You must be able to know where is my sphere of influence. I must be able to know where is your sphere of influence. And whenever I get to that place, I must submit to it. Because God has not concentrated his authority in the hand of one man. In any case, it is not so. A lot of people believe that and they become dictators. That's why they are called dictators. They are now dictating. The reason that they hold the monopoly of wisdom, whatever they feel is what must be right. It is absolutely wrong. We are all delegated authorities and we must all submit. So when we move on, and then we now ask ourselves this question. How about wise leaders? How about wicked and evil leaders? Should they also be with me? What if you find yourself under a leadership that is ungodly? What if you find yourself under a leadership that is hypocritical? What if you find yourself under a leadership that is wicked? Does God expect you to obey? To answer that question, let us read some Bible passages before we even talk about it. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. Let every soul be subject unto the higher power. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. There is no power but of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 to 14. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 to 14. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him, for the punishment of people who act, and for the praise of them that do well. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished, but chiefly then that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, and despise government. Presumptuous are they, tells me they are not afraid to speak evil of dignity. So, what does God expect his children to do when they find themselves under a wicked and ungodly leadership? Are they meant to obey or not? They are meant to obey. Even if your leader is wicked, you must see to it. Why? Because there is no power that will grow. That wicked person, God puts in there. Now God puts in there, God is not telling him to do it. Now let's say that right. God appointed him there, God is not telling him when he gets to that place and he says it. God knows how to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. So every wicked person that tells you God in that position, he is going to get punished by God. But for that reason, God allows you to be there in charge because he is teaching you something. Are you going along with me? They are not going to be there forever. That wicked leader is not going to be there forever. It is seasonal. Now let us not forget that God created government. Government did not derive its authority from man. Government derived its authority from God. We remember the seven dispensations of man. Let me run through that way. God relates to man on planet Earth since the days of Adam in stages. We need to understand under which stage we are operating. It is called dispensation. There are seven of those dispensations. Right now we are on dispensation number 6. Five aberrations. The first dispensation was the dispensation of innocence, which was the Adamic dispensation. During that dispensation, man was in a total state of innocence. There was no sin, there was no evil. That dispensation ended the day Adam came. And then we entered into the dispensation of conscience, which was under the era of Enoch. In that period, there was no law. There was no do this, don't do that. God left man to operate according to the dictates of his conscience. That was the Enoch dispensation. That dispensation of conscience ended. And then we entered into the dispensation of human government. That was when God established human government, the dispensation of Noah. And God gave the commandment, if anyone sheds blood, thy man shall his blood be shed. God authorized a human body to be running the affairs of God on planet Earth. That was when government was created. I hope you understand. Government does not derive its power from collective approval, which is democracy. No, it comes directly from God. That is why whenever you see a group of human beings, you will always find government best. Whether it is formal or informal, there will always be government. But in the early times in Africa, they had the Council of Elders. That was the government. Then after the dispensation of human government, we now entered into the dispensation of promise, which was the Abrahamic dispensation. When that one finished, we got to the dispensation of the law, which was the Mosaic dispensation. When the dispensation of law terminated, we enter into the dispensation of grace, which is the one we are in right now. The dispensation in which no matter the evil that you have done, no matter the offense that you have committed, you can receive forgiveness free. That's the dispensation of grace. Dispensation of grace will terminate on the day of rapture. And 30 years after, the dispensation of the millennial reign will start. When the millennial reign dispensation ends, then the program of God continues as before. Before Satan interrupted the dispensation. Those are the seven dispensations. So the dispensation of human government is still existing in various forms over the earth today. And God expects his children to submit themselves to leaders. Even that leader must be obeyed. If God does not want you, God will remove you. Are you talking with me? Because all power belongs to God. All power. There is nobody who sits in an office that it is not God that puts him there. It is the chairman of the local government, it is the governor, it is the president, it is the managing director, it is the chairman, God puts him there. Now, whatever he does there, he's going to give account. But if a child of God finds himself under the influence of that person, God does not expect his child to rebel. Because in that situation, your obedience is dispensed. It's a great provocation. And God is watching you, how will you respond? Will you rebel? We must know that because many of us will meet a lot of wicked rulers, particularly in our place of work. But there is a living spirit which we also need to bless so that we can have the balance. So God, as your leader, does not ask you to commit sin. You must obey. If whatever he tells you to do will lead you into sin, you must obey. But let me make it clear again. You are working with a managing director who likes stealing money, who is struggling. And the God tells you to change these figures. Change it. You could go to 25 million, put 5 million here, in 5 million to spend. God will not expect you to pay. That one is telling you to commit sin. At that particular moment, God expects you to take his hand and say no, because that is why you are there. Do you understand it? The reason you are there is to plan and say no. I did not say I will touch you if you don't say you better touch me. I will not do it. That your plan is the testimony God needs in that place. Unfortunately for us, we are bringing up a generation of Christians and we are teaching them to apply wisdom. So, when the man starts to apply wisdom, it is one of that thing we should do. Are you the one who is supposed to do? You better apply wisdom so that you don't lose your job. So, the Christian does what is not supposed to do. That is why we need to discover the land. Because Christians are not taking the time against me in the very place that was put there. In every place that are stealing money in Nigeria, there are Christians there. Now, they are applying what is called wisdom. So now, as your business leader, does not ask you to do anything easy, does not ask you to commit sin, you must obey. The moment he tells you to do what he sees, something that you know God opposes, then you must say no. Wisdom is obedience is relative, but submission is absolute. If you are saying no, you must not do it. If you are saying no, you must have a weak and gentle spirit. I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry, sir. It's not that I want to disobey you, but please, sir, I cannot do it. Say, why? I'm the one, sir, please. Please, you will excuse me. I cannot do it. I am a Christian. What you are telling me to do, God says, no, I can't. You probably will be the one who will change that to get back. You probably will be the only person in that community that will stop people from making progress. I can't ask. You better don't talk about me. That's a treasure. Don't talk about me. Then you will need to find a way. So don't worry yourself. God will fight for you. What God wants you to do is to take a stand for what is right. Let's look at Acts chapter 4, verse 18 to 19, and get the scriptural backing to what we have just said. Acts chapter 4, 18 to 19. Even if they are going to attack you, let them attack you, God will pick you up. So now, as you take a stand for what is right, you can depend on God to pick you from wherever they throw you, because you have gone God's will. Acts chapter 4, verses 18 to 19. Are we there? And they found them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and have. God said, thou shalt not kill. God said, thou shalt not lie. The man said, because he's the managing director or because he's your employer, you should now cheat and you should now lie. And you say that you are being obedient. That is no longer obedient. You have become a partaker of the man's sin. And what the Bible says is, we should not partake out of other men's sin. Jesus said, pure. If your boss is tyrannical, if your boss is oppressive, no problem. Go along and obey him. So long as he doesn't come here, what God says, thou shalt not. The moment he comes here, thou shalt not, then he is obeyed. I can tell you, at this point, I cannot go any further. Let's look again at chapter 5, verse 29. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we must obey God rather than men. We must obey God rather than men. Never fear a man above God. There is nothing he can do. Are you going along with me? There are men who will want to push you into doing what you are not supposed to do and terrorize and oppress you. This is not the man. He can die that night. God can kill me because of you that night. God can be moving the following morning and push you in the future. Never allow any man to terrorize you or to oppress you, or to harass you, to do what is wrong. You must take a stand, because one day, you are going to be like that. The reason why God puts you in that place is to bear testimony for Jesus Christ. You show God the principle of Christ, and then you show faithfulness to God the Creator, by taking the hand of what is right. If every Christian in Nigeria takes a stand for what is right, there will be nothing but corruption in this country. Nothing. But people obey wrongly. They say, it's Mr. President. It's Mr. President. It's Mr. President. Then you resign. Then you say, sorry, Mr. President, I cannot lose. If you don't do it, we will remove you, Mr. President, you can go ahead. Because you are the president. He has the authority. He can remove you, so let him remove you. But you stay there and let this position in the records of God concerning you. That there will be days you are going to do this, you know, you refuse to do it. One day, the book of records shall be open. The day you are going to open the car. This will be open. And that the reducer that day could be the stepping stone into the best thing. Remember the story of Joseph? If Joseph had agreed and fled to Potiphar's wife, he would have died a slave. It was his no. And what did Joseph say? Not that I cannot sin against Potiphar, I cannot do this and sin against God. So we must always recognize that the ultimate authority is God. Every man is delegated authority. And that brings us to the next point. The delegated authority is to represent God. God will vindicate himself. If somebody is in authority and God does his work, God will prove to everybody clearly, I will not thank you. God will vindicate himself. Because the highest principle in the universe, the highest law over and above the world is the vindication of God. God must be vindicated. In none of the time, God forbid, we are not the only creatures of God. We don't know where God is after that creation. Scientists are just beginning to discover that we are talking about a universe. But from what we are seeing in space now, with more sophisticated telescopes that we are inventing, it is not one universe. It is a multiverse that is out there. and cannot think alike. Okay, that this whole universe that we see with the Earth planet and the sun and the solar system and the galaxy, it is just one universe out of many other universes. So we don't know how many creations God has in other places. We only know that our own little planet Earth. And yet, in eternity, everything that happened on planet Earth is being recorded, and the record is going to be read throughout all eternity. So when creations of God in ages to come, when they read the accounts of this particular planet, it will be stated here clearly, God is just, God is merciful, God is righteous, God is blameless. Even if you are thrown into hell and to the lake of fire, God is justified in going there. That is the highest principle, that God must be vindicated. So nobody can know God is really evil that is doing. And say, I did this for God, or I did this with the permission of God, or I did it God's no way. So if somebody makes the man the head of faith, and the man takes that decision, God will prove, I did not send him, he did it on his own. After the Bible makes it clear, simply for us, God does not send anybody to me. He does not. If you are tempted, it is your loss that is pushing you to write the book. God has no hand in it. We need to remember that. In relation to authority, our submission must be absolute. At all times, we must be submissive, quiet, respectful, polite. But by the time of Rakatakata or down before, as it is now said, say that if you do what you are not supposed to do as a child of God, you must say no. You must say no, but say that no respectfully. Be careful in using authority because it carries great responsibility. By the time you are made the head of the unit, by the time you are appointed the head over a group of people, please pray more. That Lord, in this place, I must not misrepresent you. It carries a lot of responsibility. God has given you part of his authority to go and use on his behalf. You will discover that when you head it, there are time to take a decision. Even the people don't like what to say, they will do what to say. So, if you are not careful, you might be tempted to be you are the Almighty. Whatever you say was enough. Sometimes people will talk to some pastors, to some leaders, and they give me that they are going to say, okay, we just look at the case and say, how dare you pray some pastor for me? That fellow has a radical language there. He has forgotten by the dedicated authority. He is now seeing himself in the absolute authority. He is not protecting the prophet with God. If God comes to have mercy upon him, God will remove him while he is still alive so that he will know that he shouldn't do that. If God wants to deal with him, tell him, God will leave him in that position and he will continue to deal with him. The one I want we should teach to know. People who have stayed in an office for a long time and they are doing wrong things and God has not to be good there. You should pity them. Because God is setting them up for a terrible punishment. I pray that will be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Even the right leader, going back to what we said earlier, even the right leader is true to the particular place. As a particular city, for a particular purpose. People are in Nigeria. Like Jonathan now. Jonathan is the president in Nigeria at this particular city for a particular purpose. And the purpose is very clear to those who understand me. God wants to punish Nigeria. Our country is too much. So you're giving us something that is a true reflection of the Nigerian people. Careless, self-centered, selfish, lack of commitment, unfair, that is the average Nigerian. Jonathan symbolizes everything that Nigerians are for the whole life. A very good example I will share with us was Abacha. When Abacha became the head of state, of course, nobody liked him. I remember in 1994, January 3rd, 1994, which is the time. The world came to a close. And the world has been tested over a period of time, and it was proven to be correct. Because the true test of the prophet is that whatever you see will come to pass. And the world says, go and warn your enemy to who are in the army. If you know any person who is in the army, whether your son or your brother or your mother, go and warn them. Don't join them in planning the coup against this man. Because God says, this man is a kindness, and no coup will succeed against him. That when he has finished with this, he will be able to say it. Nobody, he has no purpose. Well, this man is a better than confidence. Oh, for some people try, it will not work. Until Abacha finishes his assignment, and what was his assignment? Dismantling the social language for Nigeria. So that is something we talk about another day. It's dismantling it. That's why we are still having this little measure of quietness and peace. If the sacrificial language was as powerful as it was before Abacha came, every person can appear as God is aware. What about God can appear? It will not happen. Abacha dismantled it. When Abacha dismantled it, then God took Abacha out of the way. And then, please continue. So, at whatever sphere that you are, remember that wherever you are at that particular moment, that is doing that issue, that is doing that wickedness, God has wicked it to be there for a it's for a thing, it is not forever. That TV, God is doing something in you. You know, it's like if you have a wish, you know, the wish comes to the child, and you want to get the wish inside you. You know that you have to wish the wish now. You have to wish and wish and wish for the child to go and get the wish to come out. There is something inside of you that wicked thing is breaking out, something good, something godly. That is a treasure inside of you that is in you. He will still get through it. He will be child. Don't worry yourself about me. But God is looking at you, his child, and that is true. He's teaching you something. So it's for me. But when they tell you to do what is sinful and what is evil, then at that point you know or that this is how far I can go. From this point, I go to point out. I'm not going to see it. If you don't remove fire, you must have fire and fire. But I'm not going to see it. Look, the moment you say I'm not going to see it, because you can't fire it. From that point, it's actually an because they know that you take a stand for what is right. And God will help us more of us. This thing that we have discussed, that we have tried to explain, and some of us are smiling. When you get into it, it is not easy. I know what I'm talking about. It is not easy at all. It's not easy. It carries a lot of pain with it, but you need to know so that you can prepare yourself. There are some people who will meet in this world. Wow. We met some of them in the church. We met some of them. I keep telling people that in my life, the most wicked human being I've ever met, the most greedy, the most covetous, the most vindictive human being that I ever met in my life, I met them in the church at campus. I met them in the church at
His life demands life naturally that can even speak. Life naturally that can even speak. And after you have it, he will see the Bible and he will preach. And he will preach and he will teach. And he will tell you that are contrary to what he is doing. And when he sees the goodness, he will go back and lie again like Lucifer. Somebody told me a story once. When I heard that story, I laughed. But they were planning a crusade in the garden, in the church. And he preached to the head of the choir, and he went to the pastor's house to go and give the pastor some information before the crusade. On the very day of the crusade, he said he saw the pastor sleeping with the member of the choir. He touched them there, very handed. It's not that they were just start making. He's not talking to God. He's not talking to God. He's not talking to God. I said that to say that. Now tell me what. Tell me, who said that? Tell me who is this to say. Is that the same pastor? Who's not talking? What is that to say? It's a pastor who don't believe this. He preached against adultery. So if you look at some people, you might be tempted and you might get carried away and think that some things are permissible. Please don't forget, you are in that situation to be a light shining in the darkness. And you must be strong. That's why I read for us earlier. Can't you also explain when you go through diverse temptation? It is God who puts you in that situation. It is God who puts those who take you to their land. Because there is something for us not to be perfect inside of you. When God has made you perfect and you are normal and you are pure, he will shoot them away. That's what I'm trying to say. He will shoot them away. I pray that we shall be patient to see God, perfect God, and give us victory over our enemies in the name of Jesus. So, right now, in Matthew 22:21, it will be upon me. Let now unconsider what is considered. And so God, what is for God? You must identify which one is considered. And you must identify which one is for God. Obedience is for God. Submission is for man. Obedience is for God. Submission is for man. You shall be everywhere, so the only person who will go all the way is the Almighty God. May God help us and make our obedience perfect in the mighty name of Jesus. We shall continue next week Sunday by the grace of God. Maybe now we are going to prayer and pray and